You're listening to the Higher Ideas Podcast, where ideas grow. Connect on higherideas.net. Now here's your host, I.
Hello, fellow human, and welcome back to the Higher Ideas Podcast. Today I want to explore an interesting idea with you. Something that is part of my sort of spirity pieces of thought that are in my head, okay? And there is one particular piece of thought here that I want to try to sort of illustrate today. And we're going to begin by thinking about alcohol, of all things. And I'm not talking about drinking and the culture and all that. I'm talking about alcohol, right? The material, the liquid. Alcohol, as we know it, as we have it in bottles and whatnot, it's a liquid, right? It's been made as such. We refined materials so that alcohol is sufficiently created in a controlled environment and stick it in a bottle. And it's a kind of a careful process in its way because alcohol, it likes to fly away. Leave a bottle of alcohol open, of pure alcohol or ethanol, you know, anything like that. You leave it open for too long, you'll come back and your bottle is empty. It flew away. Right? Alcohol loves to evaporate. And of course, here we're talking about states of matter. From liquid to gas. That's what happens when alcohol escapes. It gasifies into the air and is taken away on the wind. And to a person who doesn't know the science of it, as we humans didn't know at some point when we had alcohol in the past, it would seem like magic, wouldn't it? The way it just goes away. What's happening? Who's drinking my alcohol? But when I look at something like that, this part of our reality, it's like a little story, right? A little lesson. I believe that lessons and great facts about the universe are right in our face all the time in all these little ways that reality operates, even on the scientific level, right? The laws of matter and everything. I think it's all sort of showing something greater about this system, right? Sort of little pieces of lessons that are woven into the fabric of everything. And there's these places where they sort of wink at you. And so when I look at alcohol and the state of matter and the disappearance, the apparent disappearance of alcohol and everything, I think of spirit. The way that I sort of encapsulate my view of the whole world, material, scientific, and spirit at the same time, I see them in the same way as the relationship between liquid alcohol and disappeared alcohol. The material world where we exist, this universe, would be like liquid. It's when things have compressed and congealed and condensed. We even say it about alcohol. You want to get that vapor back into liquid, you got to capture it. And then you have to condense it back down into a liquid, stick it all back together, make them all real nice and close and snug, and then it turns to liquid and falls out of the air, right? Just like rain. So I see incarnation, the material realm, as all of that congealment, that condensation of spirit. But then just like there is also alcohol vapor in relation to alcohol, spirit, in that sense, is like the air, it's like vapor, it's like the wind, it's this intangible thing that's not only become so vaporous that it's a vapor in the air, but even more vaporous than that, so that it's not even on the air anymore, but it's still there. It's there, but so lightly and so diffusely that it even disappears from matter, right? And there's no trace of it here in the mechanics and the physical part of this place. That is spirit to me. For instance, when a person dies, I believe that's what happens to their soul. At least that's the model I go with until I find out myself, right? I believe that's what happens. You know, we stay conscious in whatever other form we take after leaving a body. I feel like it's something like a system of energy that you get pulled into, like on a rushing river or something, and you just feel things and there's lights and see things. You know, it could be very overwhelming, this transition. But the point there is that I do believe that the spark of consciousness, the I that is speaking to you right now through this body, right? I believe that that continues after death and continues its journey of growth and experience or whatever the point is. But that process of remaining afterward, that's the spirit that was trapped in this body, now released back into a vapor, back into non-materialness. You've become so diffuse that you're not connected to any material anymore. And now you're out in the gassy, you know, space of spirit. And that's just it. That's just the sort of concept I'm trying to highlight here. This idea of spirit being related to matter and coming in and interacting, condensing down into matter and things like that, incarnating in people, incarnating in, who knows, you know, creatures, of course. I believe they, of course, have a consciousness to them. All life, I believe, has a consciousness to it. And as I mentioned in a previous episode, how to pray, I accidentally described how I also see that matter has some kind of consciousness, at least I believe. I believe that everything of this material universe has its roots in spirit, in the immaterial thing that's there, just like gas, but so gassy that it's not even noticeable. And you would say, well then, how do you even know it exists, right? You're just, you could say anything's there. If you can't even prove it, if it leaves no trace here, right? A scientific mind would say, well, then there's no evidence. This is an unprovable thought. But I keep looping back to this trap. This is the trap that will get you every time if you're a real scientist. The trap is then how you, hello you in there, who's being skeptical, who's being absolutely demanding that all things must show themselves in matter for me to be able to touch and manipulate and test, or you don't exist, I'm a scientist, right? Hey silly, tap tap, what are you? Are you not a spirit? Then please, you know, your consciousness, please put it in a bottle for me. Show me as a scientist that you're real. See the evidence line that you're demanding of spirit in this universe here. You can't meet it yourself. You can't even explain yourself. You're working on it real hard. And I'm sure you'll get real close to understanding how all the material works of your brain and how it may create a consciousness, but you still won't understand what the hell it is, how it spawns. You'll just know all its mechanics, right? That spirit, it's that nugget at the center that you'll never be able to crack until you accept the non-material. Didn't Tesla himself say something about that? Didn't Tesla say something like, when humanity finally takes serious, when science finally takes serious the non-material, the non-physical part of reality, it will advance more in a generation than it has ever before. Something like that, right? That's Tesla, baby. If he did indeed say that, I wouldn't be surprised. He certainly was the kind of mind that was absolutely standing in both places at once. And sometimes I think, just so often I've seen in all kinds of different languages, just the beautiful poetry that shows itself sometimes when you realize the truth about a thing. Like alcohol turning to vapor made me think of spirit. Alcohol is also called spirits, isn't it? And I think that's probably part of the reason. That kind of mysterious, flighty material that is kind of not solidly here. Right? That's what alcohol is, at least compared to, I don't know, another liquid like honey that you would leave in a jar. It's like someone who named that recognized that magical nature of it. The way that it's saying, hey, remember, there's something more here, right? There's a little lesson here in this dynamic. Just because you don't see it there anymore doesn't mean it's not there anymore. And also, nothing disappears. Even science says this materially, right? Nothing ever disappears. Just turns to another form. It's just a constant transformation. That's what reality is. Nothing is ever gone. All it's done is turned into, you know, dust or its particulate matter, including energy. So a movement of energy. You cannot cancel it. You can counter it, in which case it will be diffused by the countering force, right? But it won't be gone. It'll just be, again, like alcohol evaporating. If a big piece of power is coming at you and you somehow block it, it doesn't just disappear from the math of reality, it has to math out into something else, right? Diffuse. And that's really the only way to stop a powerful force moving in a direction. The force itself, you can't, it's not a thing to stop, it's like a spirit. A wave moving through the ocean. Oh, I love all this liquid in this analogy. A wave moving through the ocean. You can't take the wave out of the ocean. You can't just pick that wave with a machine and lift it so it's just wave movement in the air now, no longer in the water, and the water goes still. You know, that's not what it is. It's an interaction. The wave is a symptom of all those molecules of water bumping into their neighbor and saying, hey, someone's shoving me. All right, you got to get out of the way because someone's shoving me harder than you're resisting. So move on, move on, move on, right? It's a movement. And so it's not there, you see. The wave itself, it's nothing but what you can see as a result of this energy shoving all these molecules along, and it manifests a form at the surface of the water that you can track and look at and say, hey, look, there's energy moving. That's a wave. But you cannot touch that wave and pick it up. You can't. It's spirit, right? It's getting closer to that state of matter, which is spirit, non-matter. And so everything you look at in energy, literal scientific energy, whether it be electricity, whether it be the laws of physics, or a wave moving through the water, everywhere that the sort of non-solid is moving the solid, is manifesting, showing itself through movement of the solid, I believe that's a threshold. You're getting close to the threshold of spirit there. Because now you're looking at something that's just, it's not even a thing. It's not even there. It's just a confluence of all these different energies that were floating around and somehow made a wave happen, came together at once and had enough force all together to start a wave. And they all have their tracking, they all have their reason. If you identified each of these pieces of energy and said, hey, you there, why were you here? They'd say, well, you know, there was a man by the river back there, and he threw a big rock in the water, and I come from that. And I could track the rock if you want, I could track the man some more if you want to know where it came from, but it's all accountable. It all came to a total in the wave, joined with all kinds of other diffuse influences. Spirits that come together to create something, right? And again, that's what I see when I imagine the spirit realm. It is this place, this soup of movements and conscious. That place would be just consciousness, no more material. Now we're just consciousness up there. That's the difference, right? All of it conscious. And probably all of it affecting each other and at work in movements, right? You need movement to have consciousness. That's, I would say that the purest consciousness, the purity of consciousness is nothing but movement. It's seeking, it's experience, it's running your hand over a bumpy surface, you know? That's consciousness, right? Movement, continuance, see the next moment. What is this moment? And what is it now? And what is it now? Movement through moments. Anyway, so consciousness, I believe it's all just a bunch of moving energy consciousness with all its ideas and plans. And then, in a variety of mechanisms, congealment happens, where forces come together and say, okay, let's meet here. And meet together, unite in our will, thickly enough, for lack of a better word, you know, in mass enough to plop down into reality and create reality. You know what I mean? A drop of alcohol falling off a condenser into the pool. Where did it come from? Well, it was there, if you have the eyes to see it, you know? So in the same way that once we became wise enough, we realized that alcohol could condense and drop even water, you know, clouds. It's diffuse water that condenses and drops down back into water. I believe it's the same between spirit and matter. We're just not zoomed out. We're not wise enough yet to see that there's this other level of that same pattern happening between manifestation, reality, and spirit. Now, not to leave any T's uncrossed or I's undotted about this concept of matter evaporating into spirit, I'm not saying that matter itself, molecules and atoms, you know, when someone decomposes, for example, their flesh didn't go back into spirit. No, right? The matter, of course it stays, because it's got its own reason and its own paperwork to be here, you know? The thing that's like the alcohol evaporated in that moment is just that seed of consciousness, the life, the spark. Something so small, for lack of a better term, will never find it. Smaller than the smallest thing, because it's diffuser than the most diffuse thing. It's more diffuse than anything that can exist here, right? The spirit that is in you and I and in life. That is the untouchable piece that came in for a while, that dropped in, and a bunch of matter wrapped around it in the form of a baby being made so that it can receive this drop of spirit, just like a dog is made, you know, to receive that drop of a spirit that's in your dog. There, that's what is the matter that returns, that comes in and is never really here, but somehow, just like a wave in the water, something did manifest around it. A body, a person that you can look at and talk to and question and interact with. But never forget that, at least in my view, of spirit first, right? It's out of spirit that this person dropped. And the body is, yeah, it's coming together for that to happen. The fact that these things are together, these cells in a body, these organs, this being that has appeared, for example, to house me here, to speak these words into this machine, to do all the work of sending this message out. All of this activity here on the physical side, I believe, happens so that me as a being, I can have this moment, this one opportunity in this very second to tell you these words and put it together and send it out. The body is the conveyance, the physical is the manifest, right? It's a space to work in. But it's not the end all and beginning. Even the Big Bang says so, right? What was before the Big Bang? In my spiritual view of all this, right? Just the soup of spirit, the non-manifest. It's always there, at least until there is not, right? But in that group mind and that great consciousness of non-matter, before matter, I suppose there was a boredom or a reason to say, well, let's imagine a universe, let's make a toy. Here goes the universe. Let's watch it sparkle and dance. It's fascinating. You know, if you could see the universe from any scale that you could, you know, if you could become a giant spirit and just have the whole frickin' universe in your hands, or if you could shrink down to the level of an atom and dance on its particles, well, it would be beautiful to you, wouldn't it? It would be endlessly fascinating. If it was dropped in your lap as a spirit, you'd fall in right away, wouldn't you? It'd be entrancing. The Big Bang, good God, a spark, bah, firework. That'll get your attention, right? And then as it blasts out, you see all its little bits twinkle and dance in their own unique way. All these colors come out. Ah, let's go look at that spark. Let's go look at that spark, you know? All of these sparks, different suns that dance in a different way. And some of them have all these little decorations flying around it. And some of these decorations, if you look close enough, oh my God, there's a society here and there's people, you know, there's critters, there's the dance of life and death and predator and prey and sex and love and beauty and singing. And, you know, this is an endlessly entrancing toy reality. And I think we fall in, you know, I think it's a diversion. It's a thing to do in eternity. And so we condense down one by one, we spirits that identify, you know, different forces that split up and become different things and all report to each other. But at some level out there in that soup of consciousness congregates wills and wants and beings of their own that are all, yes, from the same mother, the same father, right? The same thing. They're all the same thing. They define themselves differently. I like to be bad. I like to be good. I want to see dark things in the universe. I want to see good things in the universe, right? Duality, all the different possibilities that exist in this little toy here, you want to explore them all. So there is a bit of spirit that sort of breaks off and focuses and gets fascinated by that element, and then you mix all these elements that go into an individual. On this subject, I want more darkness, but on that subject, I'd like to see more light, you know? And so we're all these different combinations of wants and needs, and that's the spirit in us. And that's where it congeals first, I believe, up there. All these different combinations of forces create different sort of ego packages that decide, oh, I'm an individual thing as apart from that and that. And the closer you get to this material reality, the more of this division happens, right? Of, no, no, I am this and the rest of you are that. And, you know, you do that long enough, you end up trapping yourself in a reality. You end up incarnating. So that explains my spirit, your spirit, as a human type spirit, right? As a being type spirit that sees a world and wants to interact and wants to move things, and, you know, a story that you get to incarnate into as a character. Look, think of it this way. If you were watching a story, any kind of book, right? Lord of the Rings, and you wanted to just, I so much want to be in that story. Put me in that story. If you are going to be put in that story, you're going to have to be written in. Somewhere there's going to have to be words that say, and then there was this one person who is you, right? Whoever you want to be. Maybe you want to be one of the heroes. There's an extra hero now in the story. Well, that changes everything, doesn't it? You don't get to be in this story without being written in and having an effect on everything else and changing what the outcome would be in some way, even if it's subtle. Even if ultimately the end of the story stays the same, there will be passages in that book that weren't there before, interactions between you and them. And that's reality. As a spirit looking at the book from above, oh my God, couldn't we just help things this way? Or man, it would be nice if this thing appeared in this world and I seem to have the idea for it, right? There's an art that's not here, or there's an invention they need. Maybe Tesla came in that way, right? There is an upgrade they need. Someone has to bring it to them. Well, in the system of spirit, it goes, well, that's you, buddy. That's you. You who's looking in so close and getting so fascinated, thinking, I wish I could bring them this. I wish I could be in this story. That's when you drop in. The system knows this is condensation, right? Then go on in there with this thing you've got and do your best to bring it. And then when you die, you pop out. You remember, oh, I am the spirit. Oh my God, I just was in a life. I fell in. And then the system may be there, the higher levels of the system, to say, well, did you do it? Did you bring it to them? Look at life now. What was your part in the story? You forgot yourself. You fell in so deep. Now that you remember yourself, did you do it? Were you true to your spirit? Or did you get confused like so many do down there? Right? It's a whole other realm down there. And you fall in and you get lost. You forget. You get confused. If you do a lot of spiritual work, if you happen to walk that path, you just may come to remember. Oh, right. I'm here for something, and this is what it is. And I knocked on it long enough to know it's really there, and I really need to do this, right? And then you go forth and manifest. You go forth and fulfill your spiritual journey. And hopefully then, when you deincarnate, evaporate back into spirit, up there, you could be proud of yourself, you know? So definitely got diverted into all kinds of points I didn't intend to, but definitely the core idea I wanted to just dance with and illustrate for you guys as much as I could is this idea of spirit being like the relationship of alcohol and evaporated alcohol, right? Of liquid and gas. If you consider that liquid, condensed liquid, is everything manifest in reality, the physical, the whole physical game here, the entire universe, that's the liquid. And the gas, the untouchable, the intangible, it's spirit, and it's all around, you know? Active in all kinds of systems here, moving like a wave through the water. Able to incarnate into a being, or possibly able to influence larger events from a higher scale, using the butterfly effect in a very precise way. Moving different pieces in ways that are imperceptible, but result in a congealment of very targeted, very untraceable with our technology, you know, untraceable interaction. So I do believe that spirit is going to be probably the last discovery of science. I think it might take mapping out all of material reality, all the way to the extremities of the universe, having a monitor on every particle and a computer so powerful that it can find these things at work. It can go, hey, wait a minute, why did this planet move in this way? And then influence that solar system over there 1,000 years later to create life. That planet didn't have a reason to move, and then you trace it and you'd find holes in the math. You'd go, wait a minute, but there's movements here that seem organized. There are movements in all of the different levels of flow of energy and influence in reality that unless you could track it all and have that kind of supercomputer, mega computer, good God, there'd be a giga computer, Jesus. If you could get that far, I think then you'd see all these systems at work and realize, oh my God, there's something steering all of this. Where is it? It's not here. We're tracing everything. It's not here. All these red bells and alarms would be going off. Brr, 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 problem in the system. We have our finger on every piece of matter in this universe, and we're watching all of it. And there's something else in the room. Oh, I mean, this is just fun things to think about. I'm not sure of anything. But that's why we communicate, right? To share ideas and say, hey, put this in your head and think it, you know? See what shakes out for you. Maybe it's trash. You might find a treasure. I don't know. So, fellow humans, that leaves me only to thank my Patreon supporters who keep this whole thing possible and allow this spirit to speak this voice into this machine and get these messages out there just for fun. Thank you guys so much for continuing to make me possible in this stage of my incarnation. And of course, a special tip of the hat and thank you, sir, to Mr. X. And well, if you would like to pitch in even a dollar a month to help raise the total here and make a wave out of a bunch of little movements, do head over to higherideas.net and click on that little orange Patreon link right at the top of the site. It's going to take you to my Patreon. It's a beautiful system for supporting artists. Please do participate, do pitch in, and support this one. And of course, while you're over at higherideas.net, do explore the other episodes if you're new. All kinds of stuff is there. And that's that. So, until next time, fellow human, thanks for listening. And as always, keep thinking.